The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Good evening, everybody. Yep, it's about that time of day, it's about that time of week, which means here I am, and welcome to another episode of Point of Viewer. Now, I'm going to get a significant chunk of things out of the way first. As much as I cannot stand Orange Julius Caesar, he's really kind of saved my ass. Last week I thought was going to be a fairly slow news day. Then, bombshell with Jared Kushner. Bombshell with the Paris Accord. Bombshell with the Michael Flynn statements. That helped out. This week I had that same mentality. I mean, yes, I'm going to touch on Bill Maher and tie back a little bit to Kathy Griffin from last week. A couple of things that caught my eye in the realm of sports, game shows, stupidity on social media, even though I have no high ground whatsoever in this specific case, save for the fact that at least up to the moment, I haven't been caught. But I've got to get this week in misery out of the way first. Now, unfortunately, continued series of attacks. Tragedy that happened on London Bridge. Even bigger with the market and the attempt, whatever you want to call it, in Iran, especially around the statue, the Ayatollah. So there's still that measure of sadness. But as if the heavens opened. And I can say that because the kind of weather that we've been getting this week, especially here in my neck of the woods, it's been three straight days of very cool, cruel, wet reminders of the day that I was supposed to broadcast a baseball game at a historic site, Tinker Field, right next to the Citrus Bowl, if you're familiar with the Orlando area, right over by Orlando City Soccer Stadium. I was supposed to broadcast a baseball game there. Ominous clouds followed me all the way down I-4. And right before first pitch, the heavens opened up. And it was like God himself was pissing upon my baseball broadcasting career that day. It's been a couple years, but I'll never forget it. With these rainy days like today, the heavens have opened up again. And I've gotten that same feeling. It's been to the point to where I haven't even been able to rock the epic hair like I wanted to, which kind of pisses me off. But the heavens have also opened up in an extremely funny yet weird sort of news way. I was all prepared to come and talk about Theresa May, her comments about the three terrorist attacks in London and Manchester over the past 3 months, and the fact that she, without a mandate from the people, without even a majority vote of her own party, decided she wanted that mandate, she wanted that support, and called for an early parliamentary election. Now, as a brief primer, for UK Parliament, like Canada and wherever else that exercises a parliamentary system, all of the seats are up for grabs. Between the parties, in Britain, Labour, Conservative, and you have a couple of others like the infamous Nigel Farage and the UK Independent Party, which, as a personal opinion, as an outsider, I'll be damned if they're going to get any seats after the Brexit mess. but everything's reset. Now, the reason why Theresa May is prime minister is because the Tories, conservatives, yes, they also wear blue, they have the majority of seats in parliament. Thus, as the ruling party, minority rule, if I remember correctly, she is prime minister as the leader of that party. The only reason why she is the leader of the party is because she was selected through a democratic process after David Cameron was pretty much told, get the fuck out. So, these elections happen every 5 years. There was just an election in 2015 that created the majority Tory government that some British political pundits would argue led to Brexit. You can make the correlations. It would take me much more time and research that I have with a bunch of other things going on to go into that. But the next election, because of that, was not scheduled until 2020. Thanks to Theresa May, that election is happening June 8th. At the time of this recording, that's tomorrow. As a matter of fact, taking into account time difference, polls open in about 6-7 hours. Now, Theresa May, you understand where her head was at originally, because early polling had her at a 20-point lead over the Labour candidate. That lead is gone. The word upset has been bandied about so much. At best, she's only up by 5. And because of the terror attacks, because our guy in charge decides that, well, since people told him to fuck off from his golf course in Scotland, he wants to go there. The Queen Mum, maybe she has a thing for orange guys. Maybe it's because she's old as dirt. Fuck if I know, but she wants him there. And naturally, he's going to put his foot in his mouth, just like he, in essence, attacked the mayor of London, took out all of his statements out of context after what happened. Yes, he is going to go over there and meddle. So, Theresa, be careful what you wish for. You wanted a special election at this time. You wanted to try to get your mandate. You wanted to try to follow the will of the people who were bamboozled into Brexit in the first place by a man who goes on a fake news network to end all fake news networks and calls for internment camps. Hey, that's been done before. How does that work out in general history? Yes, you surround yourself and you have all of these voices in your country, all these people coming to your country and meddle and do business. Well, Theresa, boom. Let me open up the cloche and serve your silver platter. You have it. That was what I wanted to talk about. What I am going to talk about, things like executive privilege, things like the Director of National Intelligence evading simple yes or no questions in an open hearing. Things like we are now, at the time of this recording, less than 12 hours away from the fired director of the FBI saying, oh yeah, this is what Trump said to me. I've got papers, I've got this. This is how things went down. It's been a long time since your big three networks, I can't include Fox because they did not exist in 1973. This is how far back we're going. But all three of the big networks are going to break into their scheduled programming. So if you were looking at your daytime TV, like The View, like The Price is Right, whatever you have your heart set on in the middle of the day, fuck it. It ain't happening. On top of your cable networks, the big three, just like they did May 17th, 1973, for the Senate hearings about Watergate, they are going to cover James Comey's testimony. I applaud him for giving the people a heads up saying, hey, here's 5 pages. Take time to read them. If y'all got the other things to do, I can completely understand, but this is what I am going to say tomorrow. Now, if you're a certain man of a certain complexion, with a certain style of hair, with a certain style of a voice, who likes to walk around a certain famous official building in a certain state of undress, eating fast food from certain chains, you are obsessed about numbers. Me being a mathematician, current, former, however you want to slice it, I also have things about numbers. So when I saw numbers relating to this today, here's exactly what I saw. Quinnipiac, wonderful institution, reputable poll, university with a fairly decent hockey team, they released approval numbers. They started out low in this administration, and they've since gone lower. The current man sitting in the big chair is sitting at 34%. So if you go and you pluck three people out of the street, one of them will still say they like what he's doing. You can probably spot them by wearing a red hat. Dollars to donuts. Now, within that, you have another set of numbers. It's really not surprising, but somewhat scary. Democrats, obviously, for a myriad of reasons, can't stand the man. Approval ratings are through the fucking floor. Independents, same thing. But Republicans, the elephants in the room, the grand old party, you know, the chamber that's on the precipice of yielding enough power at the federal and state level to permanently fuck us all over even worse than it already has. 81%, 9 squared, 4 out of 5 like this guy. Now, as a certain friend of mine, who I'm sure will listen at some point, has as his set of rules, people are stupid. As what was said in Men in Black by Tommy Lee Jones. A person is smart. People are dumb, panicky animals. I have said the same thing. If you have individuals, they can shine. They have a likelihood of being able to critically think. But if you group those individuals en masse, you get problems. There's all kinds of terms, hive mind, groupthink, brainwash, whatever the hell you want to call it, but it happens. This is a prime example. Now keep in mind, he flips his shit when his orthodontically challenged son who bitches when he can't go kill a leopard or tiger or make another species endangered after every couple of weeks. Decides to host a golf tournament and give the money to charities for children with cancer, like St. Jude. No, he doesn't want that. His mindset,
look, I know who you are. But around here, everybody gets spilled. Now granted, do I want to pay it all the time? Absolutely not. A lot of people who had terrible jobs, can't stand them. When you do a terrible job, don't pay them. Simple as that.
But, for moments like this, you use his brand, which I have to reiterate. He said the value of said brand fluctuates based upon how he feels every day, on record, in a deposition, in a lawsuit. No, you use his brand, you use his golf courses, even if you are flesh and tainted blood, you still pay. And what's even worse, the cornucopia of projections that he's portrayed, subliminally and liminally for that matter, continues and is revealed again. Not only did costs for a Trump event at a Trump golf course, complete with your typical rich white men and cigars and your C and D list celebrities like poor Daryl Strawberry and Hooters waitresses, which, knowing Trump, if he had his hands in things, as he tends to do and tends to put, they would be wearing less than their traditional uniform, let's just say. Now, granted, if I'm at the opportunity with the golf course in a tournament like that, I would love to, as I saw on one episode of late night HBO, have the woman take the golf ball and run it up and down and, I don't know, maybe slip a couple extra Benjamins and turn it into a golf ball version of a ping pong show. I would love to do that and help sick children or whomever at the same time. But I digress. These are the kinds of tournaments you have. At the beginning, everything's kosher. Almost all the money goes to charity. Costs are minimal. 50, 60 grand. That's 60 balloons to 200. 250. Then 300,000. Then the money just seems to stop going to charity. It goes to other charities, or it just goes to the Trump Organization itself. This is self-dealing, which he accused Hillary of doing. Accusations of being crooked. Well, we're staring down the barrel of obstruction of justice charges. That, if you have a weasel like Paul Ryan and a turtle like Mitch McConnell in charge, well, this is just going to go where all the crap goes after it's shoveled at the zoo. Somewhere we don't know about. Things go at this pace, those charges aren't going to come up. Those articles of impeachment won't be written. Now, granted, we can all hope and wish and pray and do rain dances and voodoo spells and satanic rituals, however you want to do it, for people to get their heads out of their ass on Capitol Hill, step up and do something about it, but I told you the numbers. That's not going to change. All of this and being above the law. Oh, the private email server. Well, there was one with direct ties to Russia in Trump Tower. wanting to get along with Russia. Covert communications with Russia. And oh, by the way, the number of Senate confirmation necessary officials that are missing in the White House and in top levels of government, well, the number that is not even been considered and not even nominees named has gone down from 449, a little over 70%, to 448. As news came out this morning, Christopher Wray is on tap to be the next FBI director. Never mind, he represented Chris Christie, former potential VP, former surrogate during the campaign. Yes, that Chris Christie in Bridgegate, the worst traffic jam on the East Coast in history, probably second to Carmageddon in LA. Yes, Wray and his firm represented Chris Christie in that. And also, despite all of this with Russia, despite Putin's blatant denials and adjusting in his chair to practically thrust at the Megyn Kelly, which, I mean, look, if I have random thoughts on my way to run an errand about, maybe if I give this homeless woman a couple bucks, I can probably get a half-decent blowjob. I wouldn't want to touch her. I would not want to do anything with Megyn Kelly whatsoever. Even if you paid me 10 grand to try to comb on her face, I would be Noodled Up Jones. I couldn't do it, no matter how much Viagra you force-fed me or pumped me through an IV. But Putin being ex- head of the KGB, he looked at her, saw this interview, and thinking, I can use this woman. I can use her to advantage. It can be a nice distraction. He's flirty, and she being the dumbass that NBC has to prop up because they gambled by getting rid of folks like Tamron Hall and Al Roker and facing all of that backlash. Bad idea, right around the time that they had negotiated, or just after, their contract to broadcast the Olympics, and it was not favorable for that network. But they had to do something with her, so they gave her a Sunday night show, made Putin her first interview, and that, as I always sensed, was a miserable failure. Now this Russian comes back into play with Christopher Wray because he and his firm represent a very prominent Russian bank in dealing with money laundering charges. Now when you have a special counsel like Mueller, who just got Anthony Weizmann, who took down the mob, got key guys, put them in witness protection, then brought them out on witness protection, flipped them again, and then got them hemmed up on racketeering brilliantly. He worked with these kind of people for 25 years. He also worked in as a U.S. District Attorney for the Eastern District of New York, specifically Brooklyn, and where Trump Tower is. That's right. The name Preet Bharara ring a bell? Summarily fired? Because he was getting a little too close on something on money laundering charges? Wouldn't be surprised if Mueller brought him in on the special counsel. These people know what the fuck they're doing. Not Trump, apparently. Doesn't want to hire anybody. Doesn't want to listen to the people that he does hire. And you got situations to where people hang around, but you tell them to leave the room because you want to talk to Kobe one-on-one? Not a good look. The fact that the evil Southern Leprechaun himself, Jeff Sessions, even he'd take a break of killing people and going after pots of gold and all of his rampages and saying, hey, you know what? If it's really this bad, if you hate me that much, if you blame me that much, I will quit. Right now. That's happened. All of this stuff. Shotgun. Blam, blam, blam. Over the past 48 to 72 hours. Did me a favor. For me, sitting in front of my microphone, speaking to all of you right now. Is it doing a favor for the rest of the country? I really am going to have to say no to that one. But again, because the elephants want to march in line, we might be stuck with him for a little while. I have to remind everyone again, from break-in to resignation with Nixon, 900 days. That was our 900-day war, just like there was with Russia in the siege. Funny how those two countries are tied together yet again, yet no one notices that little connection. We're going by that time frame with this so-called presidency, this abomination we're dealing with. We're not even at day 150 just yet. All I can tell you is, if you're in the DC area tomorrow, hit the bars. One's doing a good $5 special on vodka, $10 FBI sandwiches. Others are going to have the hearings on different TVs and sound, and you've got another one that's just going to air Law and Order reruns in HGTV. And they're all opening up early, 9, 10, 11 in the morning. So if you were ever a day drinker, you'd be in heaven. Rightfully so. I was up there, I'd skip work and just go with you. Maybe find someone, do a little barter, get myself some good legal weed. Is, hey, if anybody knows about G13, that's the good government shit right there. Just saying, if anybody up there can get their hands on that, smoke it if you got it. So, that I've gotten that off my chest, there's been a rash of issues with free speech. It started last week with Kathy Griffin, which she's losing gig after gig after gig in. Had a press conference, and I was betting that she would have another press conference for how bad she fucked up that press conference over something tasteless that generated, really, for the most part, fake outrage. I don't miss her because that moment wasn't funny. As much as I would like to pose with Trump's severed head. No, time and place. She's never really been funny. Never gave a damn about her show Life on the D-List. CNN was glad to get rid of her because she skirted some fine lines with the FCC whenever she does her New Year's Eve with Anderson Cooper. But that was how it started. Now, you've got two different instances. Bill Maher and what happened with Harvard. I'm going to start with Bill Maher, another guy I really don't like. He's the less version of Bill O'Reilly. A lot of people eschew his views on Islam, and others still watch, not even paying attention, because he's this unabashed Jersey wannabe upper crust, because, well, he kind of is. Yes, Politically Incorrect was great in its time. Real Time has some decent moments. I admit, I've watched a few episodes, but it's just like, he's not really telling it like it is. He's telling it like how he wants, which is odd because he's not beholden to anybody corporate. He left Disney. He's with HBO. You've got paywalls and insulation to do everything, but you still have your bullet points and your flaws in who you are. Now, on this past Friday's episode, he had a man, I believe, congressman from Nebraska, sitting talking about Nebraska going there, and really, the setup was there to create one joke. Working in the fields, the whole house nigga bit. I mean, me personally, someone with a little bit of extra melanin, looking at my heritage and nothing but persecution, Caribbean, Native American, drop or two of Irish from my mother's side, my history and my people, not kind, to say the very least. But when I heard it, I was like, okay, yeah, the joke was there, the setup was there, you had people laugh, but to me personally, it wasn't funny. It just kind of sat there, just off in the universe. So, I didn't think it was a big deal, but apparently other people did. And of course, thanks to the fake outrage, people were looking for him to be fired and HBO to just disavow all knowledge, and HBO just said, fuck you. Rightfully so. Again, it wasn't really funny. To me, it was stupid. But am I going to run around butthurt, call out to a network that I love and I watch other programming for? I mean, not just Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. I mean, Sheila Nevins. Bless her heart. She has her book coming out about her life and experiences. Sheila, can I just say thank you for providing a lot of very formidable masturbatory material to me in my teenage years? I mean, how many nights I've stayed up and, like clockwork, Friday nights at 11 for real sex. And downloaded a couple of episodes with Annie Sprinkle, who's on my fucking list. And lesbian strap-on parties. And Diane Carroll films. You name it. Sheila, you brought this into my life. I thank you for it. HBO, I thank you for being the platform for it. And everything you've done for me recently. Game of Thrones, which I've got to start watching again. It's just a bunch of stuff. Allowing me to share so one of my conundrums can view it. Tying back into another episode of Real Sex, another bit that involved anal sex. I'm going to get into that another day. But all of these things together, they all collaborated to really do the right thing. Comedians stood up for Bill Maher. So all you people that got pissed off at HBO, change the fucking channel. Cancel your subscription. They're not hurting for money. They've got awards coming out of their ass. They don't need you. Go away and don't ruin it for the rest of us. And for Bill Maher, just stop. Yes, you donated $1 million to Obama. Yes, you had that great bit about how you felt with the Super Bowl and wanting the Falcons to win because of Darth Belichick and Ugg Boot Brady and that whole gang. Fine. Yes, you date a lot of black women. Okay. You're still pompous. You're still arrogant. And to me, you've got moments to where you're still a son of a bitch. But I'm not mad at you. And the rest of people really shouldn't be either. Now, tying that into something else. Facebook, where I bet a lot of this outrage also originated. Well, in Facebook, you have public groups, which I'm a member of. You have private groups, which I'm a member of. You also have closed groups, which I'm a member of. And you got to be careful with some of the things that you say. I ran into an issue little over a year ago at my job because I co-signed with someone. Granted, everything just pretty much swept away because people up at the top understood, and my boss actually wound up leaving. But still, that was my kind of wake-up call. And I happen to be a member of a pretty cool closed group where a lot of things go. There's a lot of stuff I like, some I don't. I just scroll and I move on. See a lot more stuff that I like, a lot more stuff that I approve. I chime in whenever I can. But that's the twisted beauty of Facebook. Well, these 10 kids, their mistake in my mind was the fact that they set their group to private instead of closed. Because you have a lot of people that think this way. A lot of people that share tasteless shit like, oh, if a Mexican kid hangs herself in the bathroom, it's piñata time. That's just dumb. You can call it racist, you can call it insensitive, which it is, but look at it at its base. It's stupid. Well, this private group was sniffed out. Because Harvard, being Harvard, I mean, my God, the school's been around, what, damn near 4 centuries? They're like, hey, wait a minute. Y'all are doing this, and y'all are passing this, and y'all are sharing this stuff. We know about the internet. We know about Facebook. Hey, Zuckerberg went here, thank you very much. Yeah, he left, but yeah, he's still one of our own. Oh, by the by. So, if you're going to pull this kind of bullshit, yeah, we don't want you. If I was the person in charge and making that decision, being it the head of admissions, the dean, whatever, I would say, yeah, you have that acceptance letter, that scholarship? Yeah, can I see that? Oh, whoops. This is magically on fire. Where did this lighter come from? Oh, no. This is burnt. Oh, well. Bye, Felicia. Plenty of other schools that you can get into. It's June. You got time. Have a nice day. Now, granted, I would probably be fired, but I would go out in a blaze of glory, no pun intended. That's in essence what Harvard did. And to me, I side with them. Harvard is a brand. Harvard is recognized internationally. You have people from all over the world who would crawl on broken glass and lay on top of beds of hot coals sitting underneath of a toilet seat in a gas station, happily licking away if they would get a Harvard scholarship. These are the kind of people you're going up against. Harvard, to all of those kids who decided to be dumbasses, you needed them. Your parents were bragging on you. Everybody in your circle had the upper hand with everyone in their circle. Harvard just whipped it out and slapped you across your damn forehead. Gave their release and didn't even hand you a towel to wipe it up. Forced you to do the cum walk all the way home because they can. They are the brand. They are the crimson. And you're not, bitch. You gotta learn that. Now, if you were going to some two-bit community college, completely different story. But when you're talking Ivy League, you gotta think once or twice. And guess what? This just doesn't affect you now. This is gonna stick with you. Try getting into some of these other schools. Try getting a job once you get those degrees. Oh yeah, that saying, the internet is forever? You're learning the hard way. I got no sympathy for you. If I do this kind of stuff, I know how not to get caught. One time I did, I owned it. I got lucky. But I ain't doing it again. That's for damn sure. Besides, the closed groups are where the best shit goes down. Good pictures of tits included. But anyways, going on to the penultimate segment of the show. It's that time in sports. It's June. You're nearing what I call the doldrums because coverage is going to be dominated by baseball. Thankfully, with my awesome producer Sean doing soccer to the max, I have other things that can occupy my spectrum. Granted, as long as you don't have people in key decisions pissing me off, that's for another show. But before we do, we're savoring the moments of two championship series. The NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Final. Let me tell you right now, I opine on a regular basis why the Stanley Cup Final is better, why people need to tune in, why you've got great teams, and why soccer has a stake in this, because I'm telling you, Nashville does not need a Major League Soccer team. They don't. I will say this and do whatever, bribe whomever, punch whomever, whatever I have to do. It's not going to work to me. But before that happens, the Nashville Predators, they've come back. They've held serve. Stanley Cup Final, after two great performances, Pekka playing himself back into Conn Smythe consideration as playoff MVP. Series is now tied. Two games apiece. This is just getting good, people. Just getting good. I find a way to watch highlights, do something of the first four games of the series, so you can get yourself acquainted for the last three. Because if this keeps going, we're going to get another Game 7. Crosby, Malkin, Rene, Fisher, Subban, Kunitz, Yossi. Decisions? Everybody's stepping up out of nowhere. You have one player, his first three career NHL goals. Hell of a time to score them in the Stanley Cup Finals. That hasn't happened since the mid-40s. Yet, because it's hockey, for one reason or another, hardly anybody's given a damn since the 80s. Yeah, Gary Bettman, as NHL commissioner, part of that is your fault. You didn't fucked up not once, but twice. Three times if you had your hand in the lockout that had a shortened season in 94-95. Then 10 years later, miss a season. Then 6-7 years later, you have another half season miss because you can't get your shit together. And ideally, you're looking to expand. While I love Vegas, even though they picked a stupid name, you're looking to get a 32nd team, which ideally you should have contracted. But that's neither here nor there. But you, Bettman, are getting very lucky. You've got a semi-storied franchise, one of the first wave of expansion in 67, with your next wave of stars going after the cup yet again. And you've got another smaller market team giving you another crazy witcher wool to go down in your sports lore and throwing catfish on the ice. You're getting lucky with this. You're getting lucky that you're getting another good series. But somehow you done fucked it up for everybody because everybody's eyes are glued elsewhere and not on you. Yeah, I blame you for a lot of it. I can sit here and rail and scream and shout top of my lungs every day of the week to get people to watch this series because they should, because it's great. But in part thanks to you, they won't. And at the same time, what is everybody watching? The NBA Finals. Granted, Golden State's up 2-0, just like last year. And as I'm sitting here now, they just went to halftime. Golden State's up by 6. Despite LeBron's efforts, despite a triple-double, despite going into this series, having to deal with the graffiti on his home in L.A., wishing he could talk to his boys about it. Despite all of this, if the Warriors win tonight, it's over. I didn't count Cleveland out last year down 0-2 because I had a feeling. I didn't count them out down 3-1 because I had a feeling. And I was right. By the skin of my teeth, I was right. I don't see the same feeling now. I see a team that wants to get revenge in wasting what could have been the greatest season ever.
by doing themselves one better. No one in history has started a playoffs 14-0. The Warriors could be on the verge of going 15-0. Is it really that hard to see them going 16-0 if that happens? And then what would that mean? I saw the Lakers at 0-1. I saw Allen Iverson go up against them, stealing game one of that finals, because they had a long series. I think their conference final against Milwaukee went 7, while the Lakers swept. After another sweep. They wound up finishing 15-1. Because back then, the first round was still a best of 5. 8-0 on the road. Everybody thought that was the greatest playoff run ever. Before that, everybody thought, when the Sixers won the title, with the prediction of foe, came close. That team in the playoffs went 12-1, sweeping the finals. This has never been done, and I really don't think it's going to be done ever again, if it happens. Now, granted, Cleveland could do something like they did last year. Take game 3 and make it interesting, but if it's best against best, seems to me like Golden State's just better. And if it is, then it's just going to be done. It's been proven. It's been shown. It's right in front of your face. But everybody's still going to watch. Now, with rules and with leagues, there are quirks. Something I learned of yesterday in the NFL, if you're recently drafted, for example, Christian McCaffrey, a real X factor, a true offensive weapon, out of Stanford, drafted by the Carolina Panthers. Well, Stanford is Stanford, the Ivy League school of the West. They have not had their graduation yet. I believe that's either tomorrow or in the next few days. By NFL rules, until they do, Christian McCaffrey can't practice. And that goes for recent draftees. If you are newly drafted, you're a rookie, and your college, which to be fair, a good portion of these players did not graduate from, they left early. But until they have that graduation, you can't practice. To me, if you leave a school early, if you stay and you exhaust all of your eligibility and you hopefully get a degree, I can understand. You're focusing on graduating college, walking across the stage, getting your sheepskin, whatever. That's a big thing. Then you join your professional team, you start your new job come OTAs. I get that. But for guys that leave early, what is the point? Why do you still have this rule to handicap them? Especially in the cases of quarterbacks, cornerbacks, defensive ends. All of these positions, really outside of running back, that require a lot of reps. Rep, rep, rep. Practice, practice, practice. No matter how you can get it in, especially with your team, get down timing, get your moves, get your routes, get your communication together. Learn your field, learn your team, learn your quarterback, all of that straight. That takes time and practice. Get the NFL denies in that. I found out about this and I thought it was dumb. And I really think the NFL needs to revisit that. Again, if you exhaust your eligibility and you're graduating, you're getting a degree, I understand. But if you don't, you leave after the bare minimum, 3 years after your high school class graduates, then there's no point. There's no real purpose. Goodell, would it kill you to fix that? I mean, especially with the schism that's already brewing and being discussed with college football, with their system and your system and the different mentalities and the kind of players you're getting. Could you kind of close that down? Make yourselves look good? Do yourselves a favor? Now, at the same time, for what I have to chastise, I also have to praise. Now, I've said for the longest time, the baseball model works perfectly. If you are drafted out of high school, you're drafted highly enough, you can go straight into the majors. They get a deal. You'll start low-level A ball, double A at the best, and off you go. Work your way up. No one stops you. If you decide you want to go to school, the minute you step foot into your first class, you wait 3 years. You work with your team. You make the tournament, you try to get to Omaha, you've got at least 3 cracks at it. Or you can come to the big leagues. And then when you do, when your time is up, you get a bit of a jump. You go double A, maybe triple A. You don't spend nearly as long, and you're off. Now, with college basketball, they've had somewhat of the opposite approach. Initially, you could come into the NBA right out of high school. Those that wanted to go to college were able to go to college, spend as long as they wanted, and it was whenever. You just had to be 18 to be draft eligible. Then, under David Stern, last year's of him, and then transitioning to Adam Silver, they're like, yeah, you know what? No. This doesn't work for us. And so the one and done was created. Had to be 1 year out of high school or 19 years old to be draft eligible. The D-League then followed suit. Disadvantage to them. With the D-League trying to grow and get to 30 teams, you want those 18-year-olds. You get experience, and then NBA teams get them on a contract and get called up, everything that goes with it. Your league gets the prestige. Your league gets those players. You don't have to worry about the summer league. Your league could negotiate better TV deals because of that. But you decide to stay in flux and you go along. Now, with players like your regulars at Kentucky, Lonzo Ball, staying in not even for a year, just a semester, because by the time you start September, October, January rolls around, you're in conference games, March, NCAA tournament, you win a title, you leave. You think you're good enough? You're hot shit. You're first round stock. You're lottery. You get bounced. You leave. So in essence, you're staying a semester, and that's it. You're gone before you even finish your first year. So now the idea's been bandied about, and I'm hearing it could be an either-or situation, or a hybrid, or what they should do and go to the full baseball system is that if you're good enough, if you think you're good enough, be it Kevin Garnett, LeBron James, Dwight Howard, Kwame Brown, Sebastian Telfair, if you're the hot shit and you want to go to the NBA, go. If you're not, you want to help your stock, you want to go to school, you're committed to 2 years, making it a two and done. I would love to see college coaches and their opinion on the baseball style dual system, because they've given their opinions on one or the other. But I personally think that would be great. It would help with the NBA to get the young stars. It would help with college because you have a lot more kids that would be motivated to go to school. Maybe find a way to get a 2-year degree. They have something to fall back on. And if after 2 years, they decide they're not ready, they can stay. Eventually graduate and then go on. And if you're worried about wear and tear, hell, you could play 4 years in college and have that be the equivalent of a season and a half in the NBA. 35 games-ish, at most 40, compared to 82. And if you don't want to go to school, but you're not good enough for the NBA, the D-League wants to go to 30 teams, have each team with a separate affiliate, they'll send you down. Stay with the Magic. You're not the next Dwight Howard. Go down to Lakeland for a couple of seasons. Then come back to us. Bakersfield, Fort Wayne, Idaho, Colorado, Westchester. Imagine these teams getting the hot shots, getting the next big thing. Look at what it would do for their profile. Everyone can win in this situation. But you have to do it right. Now Adam Silver is commissioner. I'm counting on you. So far, you've done a lot of good things. Keep doing those good things. Keep working at it. Undo a little bit of what Stern did, kind of screw the league up. Now for my last sports topic, and then one more before I hit the dusty trail. I stumbled across something. Now, this is what happens when I take days off work, especially to take care of business. Things find their way towards me. I learned of something called the major series of putting. You heard me right. The major series of putting. With the big course in Vegas, MSOP Stadium, adjacent to Planet Hollywood, an 18-hole putting course from Nicklaus Design, as in Jack Nicklaus. There's tournaments, apparently, all kinds of events, qualifiers. I'm looking at this now as I speak, and I'm like, what in the... When did this happen? I mean, I see my occasional long drive contest whenever there's a highlight, or if there's nothing on, I'll sit and watch. It's kind of quirky. Happy Gilmore-ish. When it comes every time for the Masters, I'm more interested in the Par 3 Challenge than the tournament itself. It's gimmicky. It's fun. The kids get involved. Me, personally, I would love to play on executive courses. Little shorter. Maybe with hybrid clubs, so that way a 54 will really be a 72, and I'd feel better about my own score. But it would still only take two and a half hours out of my day, rather than 5 or 6. But this... And there's rules and tournaments in a championship. When did this happen? I mean, I must have missed out on a lot, because hardly anybody thinks about putting until somebody misses. Now you're going to give one of really the crucial elements of the game and make that its own sport? Do I need to get in on this? Do I need to take advantage of my membership and go up to Topgolf? Have things really spiraled out of control? Have we in sports with esports and shortening attention spans and everybody concerned about pace of play and wrapping things up? Have we gone tits up and I haven't realized it? I'm kind of intrigued. Kind of freaked out. I don't know what, honestly, to think. I really don't. And just like with the American Flag Football League, I'm going to watch. Big Three Basketball, I'm going to watch. But with this, how can I watch? Should I watch? This is just weird. This is extremely weird. But after this weird note, something I'm definitely going to do research on, I'm going to leave you with some good news. 1G12, 7G78. Why did I say those things, and why should you give two shits? Well, I'm going to tell you. Those are cab numbers. Why am I telling you about cab numbers? I don't own a checker yet. Well, those are very specific cab numbers. And if you know anyone in the New York Transit Authority, I'd use those connections if I were you. Now, granted, it may be a different number. But nevertheless, those two numbers are important. Those two cabs are important. Because if you get in, it's going to be like a van. You're going to see a somewhat balding gentleman. A very pronounced nose. He's going to wonder where you're going. You tell him. And then all of a sudden, lights go off in the cab. You hear a weird, crazy siren. And that man turns back to you and says, "You're in a cash cab." That man is Ben Bailey. He's going to be driving again. Because cash cab is back. After 5 years off the airwaves, he announced on Twitter, "Cash cab's coming back." Now it's simple. Really? Think Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. There's those kind of lifelines. If you get the questions right, you get to stay in the cab all the way to your destination and make a lot of money in the process. However, if you get three questions wrong, ride's over. You got to go. If you made it there or not. Another reason why I mentioned Millionaire in the Lifeline is because they use social media shout-outs to get stumped. You could text someone. You could call someone. You got a friend who happens to be a trivia genius. Who happens to know about the 1970 NBA Finals or the 87 World Series or the Oscars or whatever. Yeah, you can ask him. You got someone you'd think would know the answer out on the street. You can pull over and ask them. This is the beauty of Cash Cab. I am incredibly excited that it's coming back. And if I'm up in New York, I'm crashing with a couple of friends. I'm taking my other friend with me, saying, "Hey, we're heading up to the island, Long Island. We got to make a pit stop on the way. You got those connections, you may want to call them. We got a game show to appear on, and we got some money to make." Now, if they get Jets questions, just for the love of God, don't break out into your Berman "Jets just won the Super Bowl" impersonation. May not be the best look on TV, I warn you now. But yeah, you'd be coming with me. And I know you're listening too, so I know you'll be reaching out. And yes, I mean this. But this is happening. The era of game shows is returning. We need to embrace this. Forget about the little people fighting and throwing shit at each other. Forget the news. Even take a break from sports for a while. We've all got stuff that we know and we're good at. And we just got another opportunity to help fatten our wallets with it. Let's make this last. I think I've rambled enough. So I'm going to let y'all go. Enjoy the rest of your evening. But before I do, I'm going to remind you. W2Mnet.com. Game reviews. Podcasts with yours truly and my awesome producer, other podcasts, video games, wrestling, football, soccer, you name it. W2M.net.com, iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, wherever you want to get podcasts. You want to listen to Point of Viewer? Done. Soccer to the Max, myself, awesome producer Sean Garner, Rachel McCrieger, done. This Week in the AFL, myself, Stephen Err, the more than occasional guest, done. It's all there. It's right at your fingertips. Reach out. Go get it. But in the meantime, Viewer the Squid, you think I'm nuts, you want to reel me in, tweet me, at Squid Sportshead. Maybe you can help me in some of my sponsorship and commercial ideas. Maybe you've got tips on what cab they're going to use for the cash cab this year. I'm out there. I don't bite. Not on that account anyways. And on the other ones, only if you ask. But until then, till next time, do your homework. And don't forget to be awesome.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.